This morning's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39, and it starts with one of the Pharisees asking, "Teacher, which is the great command in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself."
Morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. I hope if you had the chance, you called your mom this morning. I'm always in a race with my brothers to call mom first so I can be the favorite. So I called mom about 4 o'clock and woke her up. No. But moms are precious and vital. And moms, I hope you know how valuable and loved you are to us. Because you are. That is the truth. This morning, we're talking about moms, and just one of the, hold on, my clicker's not clicking. There we go. For a mom who is a faithful woman of God, I can't imagine that anything is more important to her than passing the flame of that faith on to her children. Am I wrong or right on that? Like, I can't imagine anything taking a greater priority than that child's relationship with God and their eternal destination of heaven and hell. So moms who love God are going to want more than anything for their son, their daughter, to love God just as much. And that's their job in life. In fact, if you think about it, your kids are placed into your care by God to be returned to Him. That's kind of the sum of your job. You have a temporary stewardship. You have these children for a little while, and your job is to give them back to Him, to teach them to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. What we're going to do is look at today a couple of heroes of faith. Now, there's lots of heroes of faith in Scripture, and they tend to share a pattern. They have a big job. Think of Moses delivering the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and bringing them to the promised land. He had a big job, and often they have a big enemy, something fearful that they must face. Think about David and Goliath, Gideon and the Midianites. Big job, terrible enemy. Today we're going to look at these two great heroes that had a big job and a terrible enemy. This is from 2 Timothy 1:5. "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well." Paul was writing to his friend and kind of his protege, Timothy, and he's reminding Timothy of two heroes of faith that were very personal to Timothy, but we need to take pretty personally today, his grandma and his mom. Moms, grandmas, never undersell your influence on your children and your grandchildren. It is powerful and it is strong. And what these two ladies did was incredible. They had a big job. To them, these two ladies, their big job was to raise Timothy to be a sold out, all in, no holds barred believer in Jesus Christ. That was their job. They weren't raising him to be a church grower, goer, or pew sitter. They were raising him to be all in on God and the things of God. That was their job. Is that a big job? Yeah, they had a terrible enemy too. They were raising him up in a world that wanted nothing more than to pull him and drag him away from God. They also had a terrible enemy in Satan, who wanted nothing more than for Timothy to spend an eternity in hell. Moms, grandmas, you've got the same job and the same enemy. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at what those two ladies did to raise up a man of God. And maybe we can learn something about how we raise up our children. So I'm going to, guys in the booth, I'm going to skip around. I'm changing some order up a little bit here. Number one, they did not let circumstance dictate the outcome. Their goal was Timothy is going to go from boyhood to manhood, knowing and loving God. And they weren't going to let whatever circumstances he had going on in his life change that. Too often, we let circumstances dictate the outcome of our goals. Too often, when the goal seems out of reach or too difficult to attain, we give up. These ladies didn't do that. They did not let circumstances dictate it. Now, there was a very specific issue that Timothy dealt with. Apart from just the world and its pull and Satan's temptation and work in his life, apart from that, he had something very specific. This is from Acts 16. Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So his mom was a believer. She was a Jewish woman who was raised, I'm sure, in a Jewish household, knowing God, going to the feast days, I mean, all that. And then when Christ came along and she heard the good news, she became a Christian too. She was a godly woman. She's called a Jewish woman, she's called a believer, but his dad was Greek. And you seem to get the implication that maybe his dad wasn't in the picture anymore, or at the very least, if he was in the picture, he wasn't a believer. She's called a believer, he wasn't. You don't see him getting any credit for the godliness of their son. So, it seems like either he was disconnected, which is a problem, right? That's something to overcome. If there was no investment by the father in raising him to be a man of God, that's a problem. Or maybe even worse, if he was still in the picture, then there's potential that he was actively trying to pull Timothy away from God himself. Either one is a bad circumstance. Listen, if you are in that circumstance, Eunice and Lois, listen to the things that Eunice and Lois did, but they didn't let that affect what they were trying to do. I'm sure it affected it, but they didn't let it have the final say. Timothy may not have been in the best possible spot to be raised up to be a Christian and a man of God, but his grandmother and mom weren't going to let that stop them from raising him up to be a man of God. If you're in that position, and a lot of people are in that position, where maybe they feel like they're trying to raise their child up to be a godly person all by themselves, or maybe worse, maybe their spouse is actively working against that. Listen, take heart, okay? Because God is on your side. You're working for the same thing God is working for. He wants your child to know and love him and be in heaven with him for eternity even more than you do. So you may feel like you're alone in this, but you're not. God is on your side. Turn things over to him. Trust in him. Let him fuel you and feed you as you're trying to raise this person to know God. God is right in the thick of it with you. So whenever you're feeling down or beat down or drained, listen, turn to God. Let him help. Okay, so here's what these ladies did. Not only did they not let circumstances dictate the outcome, they had that boy in the Word of God from childhood. As soon as it was possible for him to know, understand, I'll be honest, I bet they were speaking the Word of God to him probably when he was in the womb. Good chance, right? And then they were probably singing hymns over him when they were trying to rock that boy to sleep. This is from 2 Timothy 3. Paul writes to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are also able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, you got this from the cradle, son, and it fed you and strengthened your faith and made you into the man that you are. The Word of God dictated the course of Timothy's life. They read it to him until he could read it for himself. I'm just speculating here, but I imagine they had that boy in synagogue every Sabbath day. Not only was the word read in their house and studied in their house and talked about in their house, but they took him to synagogue where he would hear the word read and spoken and sermonized and discussed and talked about. They had him swimming in the Word of God. These were the instructions from God to the Israelites. He said, you talk about my words when you're sitting in your house, and you teach it to your children when you're walking by the way, and you're teaching it to your children when you lay down, and you're teaching it to your children when they rise up. You write my words on the gates, on the doorpost of your house, and on your gates. They immersed themselves in the Word of God. And I imagine that's exactly what Eunice and Lois did. They taught him the nature and the ways of God from the time he was a child. And when he grew up, it paid off. They taught him that the Word of God was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. Ladies, listen, there is no substitute for God's Word in your household and in raising your children. There is none. There is no self-help mother's book that's going to make a bigger difference in drawing them to Jesus. Dr. Spock, not going to get you there. That was a big one back in the 70s. I'm just throwing that out there. That was a big one. But look, all people write books and they have podcasts and they talk about motherhood, and that's all great, but there's no substitute for getting your child into the Word of God. So let me say this. Do that in your house. Make that a part of your home. And when you get them to church, you get them into Sunday school and you get them in children's Bible hour, and the church will play its role. But we've all got to work together to raise up godly people. And the Word of God is the way to get it there. Now, the next two things I'm going to talk about, I'm just supposing are true. They're not listed specifically for Timothy, but these are things that godly parents have done for centuries, and these are things that godly people do today to pass on the flame of their faith. They lived their example out, and they connected him with other lived examples. Here's what I'm saying. Eunice and Lois taught Timothy the Word of God, but they also lived that Word out. And I think that's crucial. I don't think Timothy would have turned out the way he did had they not done that. Listen, Timothy had the godly character that when Paul's on this missionary trip, going back, visiting churches he had planted before, they put Timothy in his path. The church said, hey, this is the guy. And Paul was so impressed with him, he took him along with him to teach him, train him, disciple him, and not only that, then later puts him in charge of the church at Ephesus. His reputation, his integrity, his character were so evident that Paul himself took him along and said, you can be like me. Okay? I don't think that would have happened if his Christian examples had not been living up to the Christian ideals. If their integrity had faltered too much, and I'm not saying they were perfect at all, but if what they said didn't align with what they lived, then Timothy wasn't going to buy into this. For example, if Grandma Eunice is trying to teach Timothy that gossiping and slandering is bad and he needs to use his words to lift people up and to glorify God, and on the other hand, Mama Lois comes in and she's gossiping and cussing and lying, right? Timothy's going to get that mixed signal and probably not follow through. Or on the other hand, if Mama Lois is trying to tell Timothy, man, you need to be a holy man of God, and she's trying to establish righteousness and holiness in his heart, and then Grandma Eunice comes home sloppy drunk every night, that's a mixed signal, right? So, I think they taught it. I think they lived it. And not only did they live it, if they were wise, they connected him with other lived examples. They knew Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Guys, if you're just looking for a little verse this week to memorize or dwell on, this is a pretty good one. You walk with wise people, you spend time with wise people, you let good people influence you wise in a wise way, you will become wise and good yourself. Flip that. You hang around with fools, bad things are going to happen. Even if you're not doing the foolish thing they're doing, bad things are going to happen to you. You're going to be connected to them and weakened by them. Walk with the wise and you'll become wise. So, here's what I suspect Eunice and Lois might have done. Because they knew Timothy not only needed their example, but he'd need examples of godly men, especially if his dad wasn't around or if his dad was not a believer. Then they would have said, you know, hey, let's invite a young Christian dad over with his kids so he can see how a Christian man treats his children. Let's have them over to eat one night. Or they asked an older Christian man at church, hey, could you take Timothy fishing? Because they knew that just that exposure to a godly man has influence, has power to lift them up. I personally know a lot of guys in my life who did not have a Christian mom or dad, and it impacted them. But the wise ones connected themselves with an older Christian example that led them the right way. And it could be a member of the family. My friend Paul, his dad died when he was young. He just didn't have that godly man influence as much, but his grandpa stepped in and other men from the church stepped in. Does that make sense? So if you're in this place, it's not, if you're in any place, you want your kids to be exposed to as many good, godly, wise people as you possibly can. You want every good influence that speaks to living for God that you can put into their life. Because there are a whole lot of other voices that are saying the exact opposite. There are a whole lot of voices that are telling them to indulge in pride and self rather than in humility and service, right? There are a lot of voices that call out for self-destruction instead of wholeness and healing in God. So you want to put every good voice that you can in their life to help call them up. That's the power of example. Here's another thing I think they did. I don't think I'm off base in this at all. I think they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for Timothy. I say that because my mom raised two godly men. She had three boys, but only two of us. And I'm kidding. My mom raised three men up to be men of God. And when people have asked her about that, she says this is what she did. She says, I prayed, I prayed, I prayed. Now, I also remember a belt in there somewhere sometimes playing a role. She doesn't bring that up. But she says she just prayed to God for us. And we needed them. And probably 90% of those were for me because I needed them more than my brothers. But that's what she did. She turned things over to God. She poured her heart out to God. Probably, if I'm guessing, still is. I don't know if we're fully raised yet. Look at this. This is, turn to Luke 18. This will be our scripture here. Luke 18. And we'll close with this point. This is Jesus teaching here. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. So Jesus is throwing out this situation, an unjust judge. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about people. But he does the right thing because this woman keeps coming to him and keeps coming to him and keeps coming to him and keeps coming to him. And finally, he gives in, even though he doesn't care about doing the right thing. He gives in so she'll quit bothering him. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust righteous, or the righteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Jesus is not saying God the Father is like that unjust judge who does not care about justice or want to give justice. The Father wants to give justice, but you still come to him and you keep praying and you don't give up. Look back in verse 1. Here's the point of that whole parable. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Moms, listen. Don't lose heart. Here's what you can do. You take your concerns and your worries. You take those situations that look insurmountable or difficult, and you pour them out before the throne of God. And your Father, who is a just God, will see you, and He will hear what you're saying, and He will act. Don't give up. Don't give up. Your daughters, your sons, they're worth it. You love them, and as much as you love them, God loves them more. Don't give up. Don't let circumstances dictate success or failure. You get your child into the Word of God. You set an example of integrity and surround them with other examples of integrity. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray. Don't give up. Even when they're out of your house, grown, don't give up. Even when they're far from you, when they move away, don't give up. Even when they have children of their own, don't give up. Continually do all these things. God is on your side. God's on your side. I'm gonna close with that today. If anybody has any need of prayer or help, or if you want to put Jesus on in baptism, please come forward while we stand and sing.